My dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Needless to say, for all of us, as we live in this wonderful place of the world, this is a beautiful and terrific time of the year, is it not? It is a time of great growth. And that growth gives way to great hope. Spring has finally come after, spring has finally given way, I should say, to summer. The blossoms on the cherry trees have come and gone. The trillium have bloomed and they're gone. The daffodils in their glory showed us their marvelous color, and they're gone. And now as we drive through the countryside, or as we live in our homes and our places, the meadows of our lovely county have gloriously burst forth with their wild daisies and the other early summer flowers. It's a beautiful time of the year. And so as we do wander through our county, wander through our meadows and our woods, we can proclaim with the psalmist the words that say, O Lord our God, how majestic is your hand in all of this great creation. It is a great time. And it is a time of growth, a time of hope for all of us. And so it is with our gospel for today, relating that great growth that happens. Jesus tells these two parables. They are also parables of growth and hope. But he's not talking when he talks about putting the seed in the ground about plants growing. Yes, he refers to that, but he's talking about planting seed into the lives of God's people. And that seed grows, and it brings forth fruit. And God does the miracle in both the seed in the ground that brings forth the beautiful flowers and in the seed that is planted in your life and mine. God is at work silently, mostly unnoticed, in the miracle of both. I remember as a young man, probably 10, 12 years old, sitting with my mother and father, my two older brothers, in church, as we would worship each and every Sunday at Calvary Lutheran Church, Wilmer, Minnesota. I remember sitting there as a young man and thinking to myself, I wonder if someday I might be a pastor. Watching the pastor preach, listening, thought to myself, I think I could do one of those. But what would I do? What would I do the next week? And the next? And the next? I would have said it all the first week, so what am I going to say after that besides repeat myself? But little did I understand the power of God. Little did I understand at that time how God could take an earthen vessel and he could make of that child someone who could stand before people and who could bring that message of the Word of God. Little did I understand that. And so I did go after college I went to the seminary and obviously into the parish ministry. always trusting God's word that said, I will be with you. And realizing that if we are simply faithful, God will take care of what we do in his name, of what we plant. And in due time, God will bring it to fruition. It is not up to us to produce growth. We cannot go out in the field and say, grow. God produces that growth, and God will see to it. And so we gather here this morning, Ephraim Moravian Church. Worship is a special time. It is a time for all of us to sit in the presence of God, to participate in and to share in this rather ordinary experience, an experience that we have week after week. But I say to you, friends, it is a holy, holy experience. Let us never look at it as mundane, but to look at it as the presence of God seeking to bring growth into the lives of each and every one of us. God is here, silently and powerfully at work, from the littlest child to the oldest among us. And my friends, when we have done all that we can do, when we have preached the word, and beyond these walls, when we have ministered to the shut-in and the lonely, when we have helped the neighbor who is in need, when we have prayed for our country and world, when we have helped to feed the hungry, when we have cared for our environment, when we have offered a word of forgiveness to someone we have been at odds with, we simply then need to stand back and be patient and to wait for God to work his awesome, awesome miracle in the lives of people. We have a part in it. We plant. We cultivate. But God does the miracle. The Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Naomi and I both grew up in the western part of Minnesota, community separated by about 40 miles. We did not grow up on the farm, but most of our extended family were people who lived on the farm and thus farmed. Our farm relatives, we would often spend time with them, both of us, in our individual situations. We would visit them. Sometimes we would stay extended days with them on the farm, help with the chores and doing things, and I think in my case I was probably more in the way than helping. But be that as it may, it was a good experience. The farm. And on occasions, even today, Naomi and I will reflect back upon being on the farm with our relatives. The farm experience could be a tough, tough life. I think back especially in the day when they were probably had a couple of hundred acres and that was their livelihood. Had a few head of cattle, whatever it might be, hogs, tough life. Weather dependent. Battling the drought and the weeds, too much rain, not enough rain, too much sun, not enough sun. Battling all of that. And so they would plant, they would cultivate, and they would do everything that they could to produce a harvest. But God took that seed, that fertilizer, that cultivating, and God produced the miracle. And so it is when that seed is planted here. God does the miracle. Robert Capon, who is an Episcopalian priest and an author, writes about the words that we had in our gospel today. He said, "Once the man in the parable has sown the seed, he does nothing more than mind his own business. He goes to bed at night, gets up in the morning, and then he shops at the supermarket, unclogs the sink, whips up a gourmet supper, plays chamber music with his friends, watches the 10 o'clock news, and goes to bed again. And he does that day after day after day, while all along the seed that is the kingdom of God sprouts and grows in a way that he himself simply knows nothing about." Many of you know that I'm still a Lutheran.
I thought you were a Lutheranian.
And she is right. I would be a Lutheranian. Lutheran, ELCA Lutherans and Moravians are one and the same. Just another name for one or the other. But as a young man growing up in the Lutheran church, and we do have a few Lutherans out here, I think, that attend this church, I took catechism, studied Martin Luther's small catechism, and in that catechism there were questions and answers, and one of the questions was about faith. What is faith? How do we get faith? And Luther wrote these words: "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and preserved me in the true faith. In the same manner also he calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it united with him." And as he concluded all of these questions and answers, Luther said, "Rob, this is most certainly true." Man, that was a lot of years ago. But how true that is. I can't do it by my own reason or strength, but the Holy Spirit. The story is told about Angelo Roncalli. Angelo, Italian priest, better known as Pope John the 23rd. It's reported that when he became Pope, Pope John would end his prayers in the same way every night. He would pray for the world, pray for the church, pray for the people. His petitions were made with the authority of the Pope, and yet he would conclude his prayers by every night saying this: "But Angelo, Angelo, who governs the church? You or the Holy Spirit?" "Very well then. Go to sleep, Angelo." He did not give up his responsibilities, his concerns, but he simply turned them over and let God be God. In conclusion, it is no secret that we are living in a time of considerable turmoil. In a time of great conflict. In our country and in the world. every day. Incessant. Conflict. At times, we drift into, many of us, if not all of us, great cynicism. And that's a hurtful place to be. One of the antidotes for me to remain grounded is to just take a walk. Sometimes it's on the golf course, more often in our meadow, with our little dog Augie. And to be reminded of the one who still has this planet, this world, our country in his hands. The one who still we believe in and trust in. And then like Angelo Roncalli, who governs the world? Very well then, Ken. Let God be God.